Hey friends, Chloe and Michael here, the founders of Mindfully Loved and your co-hosts of the Mindfully Loved podcast.
Created with our love of discussing all things healing, growth and slow living, we hope to inspire your own journey toward being a better parent, partner and person.
Join us for both interview and discussion-based episodes designed to challenge those unhelpful thought patterns and inspire the positive and sustainable change you need right now.
Hey friends, welcome to the next episode of the Mindfully Loved podcast. Thank you for joining us again. It's Chloe and Michael here. So we have another extremely, everything we talk about on this podcast is obviously something really passionate about. We're really passionate about. So I'm not going to start by saying this is something we're really passionate about, but guess what? We are really passionate about this. We want to talk to you today about self-awareness.
Mm.
More importantly, self-awareness also in the context of growth.
Yeah. A lot of people talk about growth, but we personally think that part of being alive, part of the purpose of living is to grow. So we, you know, especially the last few years, growth has been a big, big part of our life. Mm. And we think that it's so important for everyone.
Mm.
And we know that the first part, the first step of growth is self-awareness.
Self-awareness. So, and that's why we want to talk about growth, obviously, in the context of self-awareness. Growth is something, I suppose, from the day we're born is a really, we measure everything by it. As parents, we watch every step and consider it as growth through our children and, through to high school, through to, finding a job, getting married. We can continue to consider these moments of growth as being these really big achievements. And something we were just discussing before, but it seems like we hit this point in our life where growth all of a sudden means just purely a physical perspective. Mm-hmm. It means the job I'm stepping into. It means the new house we've moved to. It means having a kid. It means getting married. It means those sorts of things. But we lose perhaps the meaning of what it means for us as people, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting. You've mentioned all those things that I guess we achieve. But also as people, like as humans, we measure growth physically as well.
Mm.
The moment you see a child, oh, you've grown so much. Oh, you're so big right now. Or even as we reach later in our years, we measure growth in, like the wrinkles on our face or like how, our white hair, the gray hairs. So it's interesting how we focus so much on the physical part and actions in regards to growth, getting a new job, as you say, marrying, what the next step is. But no one's really focusing on, spiritual, the healing of past trauma, past conditioning as growth.
Mm.
And it's hard because it's not measurable.
Yeah, needs-based growth, something we don't explore on like you said, I really like that you said, on a spiritual level as well, which is something that perhaps we neglect as being important, particularly once we hit a certain age. There is there can be this sense of pride in saying, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
That's who I am and that's what I stand for.
Sabotage ourselves.
Which listen, to an extent I think can be a really great, a really powerful thing, but I'm going to suggest that that's only if you've had the exploration yourself into that particular belief or into that particular thing that you're standing strong on. Yeah. So that's where I suppose we lead into self-awareness. So we know, grow or die, more or less, is something we particularly stand by.
Mm.
How? It starts through one of the most important things, I think one of the most valuable traits you can, not something you're born with, but something you can absolutely develop, which is self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. And what is self-awareness? Mm. So, how would you define it to listeners?
Something, I used to use the word insight.
Yeah.
To me, self-awareness was insight. That was the way I used to describe it to myself. It was insight into my situation. So that self-awareness trait, something, and I'll explain how I've managed to train that for myself over the years as well. Again, it's very much around fostering that environment. But self-awareness is the ability to look within on any particular topic. Mm. In this instance, we might refer to, say, a belief or a limiting belief. And really exploring where that started, where that came from, how that grew, how it came about, and perhaps why it is now such an embedded trait in my lifestyle. So,
And what you said, it encompasses everything, but it can be as simple as what thoughts am I having? What emotions am I feeling? really becoming aware of what's going on inside you, within you. You know, and I think with our society at the moment, it's all about externalizing everything and seeking things, you know, from an external world. And being, and that's why I think we lose that skill of becoming aware of what's happening within me. Why am I feeling sad? Is this sadness? What is this feeling? It hurts in my tummy. And being able to take that step and becoming aware and identifying and expressing and communicating what we're feeling. The same way it goes with thoughts. Being able to actually identify and become aware of our thoughts. Are they negative? Are they positive? And also, why am I having this thought? Is this my thought? Or is it a belief? Or is it a thought that has been passed down to me from generations now? And we all have those thoughts. And as you said, it's a first step of becoming aware of those beliefs that are holding us back and question them.
Yeah, I love that you brought it up because I think one of the most powerful things with regards to self-awareness to me is that emotional level. With regards to, you know, one of our favorite words of this generation is triggered. Self-awareness. Self-awareness when it comes to being triggered, when it comes to, you know, whether you want to use the word triggered, whether you want to use the word reaction, or, you know, reactive or reactive emotionally. Self-awareness to me, if I was to put it into a little nutshell or an example or one particular example, it is the ability when, you know, your partner said something, when someone out in the street has, you know, you've walked by and they've looked at you and given you a smirk or whatever, you know, whatever it is, and our immediate reaction to that. Self-awareness to me is understanding in that moment or taking the opportunity to pause and think about where that reaction came from. Whatever it is, positive or negative reaction, it doesn't always have to be about the limiting belief. Self-awareness is about responding to that positive belief. Why have I responded positively to that as well? And understanding why in that moment I expressed the emotion that I did. You know, again, this is something I want to talk about, something that you can train over time. But it does take that continual ability to be self-aware in that moment in responding to a trigger. Before I react, hey, why is it that I'm feeling that way? Feeling may be completely justified, but exploring it. So,
And you know, you're talking about really the first step of becoming self-aware. It's having that inner dialogue. It's all about questioning and challenging everything that you think, everything that you feel in a way to kind of figure out where this is coming from, you know, and that's such an important skill to have. Really not believing everything that pops in your head, because thoughts are just a series of words. They don't have to mean anything. You don't have to believe them. So having that, you know, dialogue within yourself, like, oh, where did this come from? Is this true? You know, I wonder if this, you know, where did this come from? And again, even with the feeling, asking yourself, how am I really feeling about this? Where is it in my body? So questioning that is the first step of becoming aware. And teaching our children, especially, the importance of self-awareness. As far as I know, I was not taught, you know, how to be self-aware at schools. It's something that I had to learn in my late 20s. Funnily enough, not even a uni studied for 7 years. It was not something that was taught to us. It's different, obviously, philosophies of, you know, working with your clients. But having, being able to question and challenge those thoughts.
And it's, I want to highlight how incredibly evident it can be through modeling. I know it's a particularly intrinsic thing. We talk about self-awareness in creating that dialogue in your mind and that inner monologue. What it is that your children are witnessing as you're modeling a self-aware behavior in front of them is not that immediate anger trigger response to whatever the stimulus is. It's observing you take that moment to pause and reflect before you respond rather than responding off the cuff.
And that is the end goal, being able to catch yourself before you respond. But self-awareness starts from, you know, for example, we have an argument and I say something that a week later I reflect like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. That's still self-awareness. Yes, it happened a week later, but that's the beginning of it. You know, on our next argument, I might realize that I said something that I shouldn't have said 2 days later. You know, eventually I might notice it an hour later. Then I might notice it 2 minutes after I said it. You know, and it's all about practicing. And eventually it will go, I'll catch myself, identify that, oh, maybe I shouldn't be saying this as I'm saying it. And eventually it becomes right before I said it. So it's practice. Practice, you know.
Whether it's physical training, whether it's mental training.
Exactly. So it's all about recognizing that, And by recognizing it, also sharing that with someone. As a parent, if you if you yell at your kid for, you know, doing something innocently or breaking something by mistake, identifying that, oh, maybe I was a little bit too harsh to them. And being able to express that to their, you know, to your child and apologize and explain your thought process to them. Because by doing that, how amazing is it to be able to show your child your thought process and how, like, oh, you know, mommy or daddy were tired and got angry. Maybe I shouldn't have yelled at you. I do apologize. I'm so sorry. Next time I will try this. So it's such an important
lesson. It's probably, you know, I think, like I said, the demonstration modeling is probably a good opportunity for me to provide an example of self-awareness, you know, in my context.
Of course.
Moving away from the emotional perspective. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the belief perspective.
Yeah.
So, you know, you will probably enjoy these ones. But, you know, particularly early on in our relationships, you know, I've always been a very routine-based person, as you might be aware a little bit. Yeah, I don't mind my
love
routines.
Your routines.
Yeah. And you know, I could you know, subconsciously have my days planned down to a T. Every second planned, every moment planned, my meals, my exercise, my, you know, clothing, whatever it is, you know, have it planned down to a T. And what I thought that did was minimize the possibility of not doing something I didn't enjoy. Right? So in my head it was a very secure and a very smart way to look at things.
Yeah.
Living with Chloe, who perhaps has the ability to amazingly work on the fly, and, you know, something probably deep down, or not probably, something deep down I did envy, you know, you would ask that question. And you know, in those moments where my plans would be changed at the last second, new plans would be made, or something was going to affect my routine, I would borderline fly off the handles, wouldn't I? It would, you know, not an angry person, but I'd borderline fly off the handles and it would throw my day off. It would throw, and all of a sudden I would be upset.
Yeah.
Fortunately, being in a space of love and support and those things that you provided me, and also being around, you know, very fortunate for me, someone who understands this stuff, you challenge that. And it was only over time that I began to realize that it was creating an element of inflexibility around me. I had to start looking within and saying, why? I understand I just want to do the things I enjoy in life, but I also see how it's affecting me when that doesn't go to plan. Why is this something I need so securely in my life? It's made me, it's challenged me to go back in time and actually have a look and observe what those things. And I might not have that one particular traumatic event that I can grab that leads to that. But one thing I do know is that I you know, amongst the fears that I had, you know, I was very much fearful of being thrown out of sorts. I was very much fearful of failure. I was very much fearful of not being at my best, so much to the point that I obsessively had to create a routine to try and put that in place. And that inflexibility, you know, became crippling. So you know, I can still sit here and say to you, you know, hey, I accomplished everything I wanted to with my routine. You know, I achieved the physical status I wanted. I achieved the you know, all these things. But I realized how inflexible it made me and how prone I was then to having a disastrous day just from nothing. And that's a self-awareness observation to a limiting belief.
And in the future as a parent, how much will it help you? Having a child and not being able to do everything routinely and having to, I guess, like, be flexible with the schedule. And something that future parents, if you are expecting a child or if you're looking to grow your family, it's something so important to look into. And as Michael said, even just looking into your limiting beliefs around raising a child, around being pregnant, what are some things that within your, I guess, family tree and, you know, family history was passed down to you? Is it, I have to put my kids first, or I have to work hard, parenting is hard, or I have to parent this way, or one of us need to always work full time because we need money, or raising a child is expensive? So all those beliefs, you know, kind of sit down and write all those things that you have around parenthood and start challenging them. You know, really asking yourself, are those my beliefs, or are those things that were passed down from my parents, from my grandparents, something that I've just heard so many times growing up? You know, start becoming aware of all those beliefs that you are taking with you as you are starting this journey.
There's no better time than now to dive deep into your personal healing journey and ensure that your children get the best self-loving version of you. If you're interested, check out our e-course, Mindfully Healing, which is a 4-week online course for future parents. Find the link below in the description box.
And another beautiful exercise that we share with a lot of our couples in our e-course is identifying what your values are separately and as a couple. Because the same thing happens here. you know, things that we might hold close to us as a lot of things that we value, you might realize that they're not your values. They are your parents' values. They're your grandparents' values. They're not your values. So as a couple and individual as well, sit down and recognize, kind of like identify what your values are. And if you need help to get started, if you go, you know, if you go online and just type in list of core values, a list of values or beliefs, so many things will come out and it will start kind of allow you to start reflecting. And, you know, circle 10, 5 to 10 values and chat together with your partner about those things and create your plan around parenthood through that. Those values will be able to allow you to create the family, the household, the life that you really deserve and aspire to have.
Perfect. I couldn't say anything better. I love the exercise, but, you know, again, really importantly, I just want to emphasize that it's not necessarily all about the negative. It's not necessarily all about the limiting beliefs and squashing those, but it is really about reflecting on those things. You know, that one saying or that one thought you had about, you know, a really random thing that it wasn't until you were in your 20s and you said it to someone else and they said, oh, well, what do you mean by that? And it challenged you to think about it. And all of a sudden you went, oh, wait, I just realized that was just something I was told, maybe because it was a belief of someone at the time, but I've really embedded it as part of my character, as part of who I am. And it's only now that I actually think about where that came from that I realize there's a change there needed to be made. So I don't think there's many more traits that are as crucial to leading into something like parenthood as self-awareness is. And there's no better time, obviously, to start training that trait than there is now.
I know. Yeah. Together and as a couple. It's so important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We would love to see what you come up with. Please reach out to us. Please share with us what are some beliefs that you became aware of, let go. What are your new values? What are your old values? Share with us your progress and your journey. We would love to know.
Definitely. We're very much on this journey with you. Let me make that perfectly clear. Yeah. We are far from perfected this trait, but we do really understand the value of it and the importance of it. And it's something we will continue to work towards because we know how impactful it has been on our lives together, personally, as a couple, as you know, whatever it is. So join us. We can't wait to share further news with you.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.